Friday. Yay. December the 19th. 1918. 360th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, we got a double-headed delight. Not monster. Karen Deemer from the city of Arcata and Greg Orsini from... Do we say city yet?
No.
Can we say that?
No, we can say
community. Would you say community?
Yes.
Okay. The lovely community of McKinleyville and the Services District. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Well, good morning.
I've been told that we've got water coming. And we've got water coming down.
Saw a few signs of that on my drive-in this morning.
Yeah. I would imagine that that's going to create a little bit of interesting anticipation. We'll get to that one in a sec here after the quote, which is from, let's find a short one because I don't feel like reading a lot. Eleanor Roosevelt. No, this is such a, okay. It's not fair to ask of others what you won't do yourself. I don't really think that she was the one who did that one. Huh. Okay.
That's a good quote for this time of year.
Merry Christmas, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So what is it the water up to this point done in your guys' areas? I think for most of us, it's like, oh, it's starting to get back into normal. And I realize I've been having some fun at Damien's expense and a couple of the other guys in the area that have been here for 5 years or less, and they don't know what normal is. Easy, relax. So so far, through the middle of December, with the rainfall that we've gotten so far, how are we holding up?
Well, I'll start with a positive thing. Ruth Lake is pretty close to being full. I think we should be full by the beginning of the new year, so that's a very positive thing. So our source for water for all of our communities is assured again for another year.
Karen, what is it? Has this done anything other than proofing the work that you were doing before, that it's working?
Yeah, on the positive note, what we saw during this last storm event was actually, although we had crews working throughout the night for the entire weekend, last weekend, we actually saw some positive benefits from some of the major facility upgrades that we had done. Some of the creek restoration work that we've done that's widened channels, the opening of McDaniel Slough and the ability of Jane's Creek to flush out at a quicker rate.
That's almost
reduced flooding.
I mean, you consider what Jane's has done in the past.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It was. So we went through the entire weekend. How we gauge our success often in this industry is not having any of the sewer leave the collection system, any sewer upsets or overflows, and we made it through that first fairly significant storm event.
You know, you got to use regular guy language. No fountains in the middle of the street.
Right, no manholes bubbling over.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, to the testament of our staff that work kind of an artful and craftful ability to manipulate how the water moves through our system. But at the same time, it was a combination of that, experienced staff, and projects that have started to allow our system to function better during the storm events.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Karen Deemer and Greg Orsini.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Orsini and Karen Deemer. We talked a little bit about some of the positives with the rain so far. What have been some of the surprises that either popped up that you guys didn't realize needed to be addressed, or maybe just because it's been so long since we've had a couple of good rainstorms?
Yeah, I think that for McKinleyville, as we were talking during the break, geographically, we're pretty high. So we have some low-lying areas. Some of our citizenry have had issues that live along Mill Creek and Norton Creek and Widow White Creek. And they've had, you know, singular issues with their homes and needing to sandbag and things like that. But on a community-wide, we've been pretty good. It's been so dry for so many years that our sewer system is actually the lowest flows we've had in years and years and years related to the amount of water that we're taking in. So we've not seen that start to move yet. One of the big things, and we were just talking about that on an operational level yesterday, is we use the rainwater that seeps into the sewer system to be able to find leaks and be able to hunt down those issues and fix them. Well, we haven't had that ability for the last couple of years because it's been so dry. So I'm expecting that this year we'll probably be inundated with repairs that need to be made because it's been 2 or 3 years since we've been able to go out and hunt that stuff down.
So it's not that it contracts and expands with the water pressure. It's just age and fatigue, and this gives you a chance to check it out.
Yeah, as the system ages, things move around and things settle and leaks develop, and then as the water raises and lowers, the groundwater raises and lowers, it shows itself that way.
You know, that's exactly what Hull was talking about with Old Arcata Road and the whole big boom that went up. Just things happen. Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah. No, I won't even take a cheap shot. It's the season. How about for you, Karen?
I don't think we had any big surprises in Arcata. We talked about earlier a little bit. There's new staff at times that aren't used to maybe this type of rain, so it was getting people trained up on, you know, which lift stations need generators and how you need to rotate to keep things flowing. We had a couple of sites that had extended periods of power outage, and so it was just being able to watch those carefully. We had that same week of the storms, we had the AT&T lines down, so we had some of our alarms that relied on those, so we're looking at some redundancy there now.
What are they doing? I mean, I would imagine, are you guys AT&T also, Greg?
No, we're all on radio related too. We have Suddenlink and radio.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're predominantly on Suddenlink also. And
so there's just a couple of
some,
them.
Okay. AT&T lines that then we'll just do a redundancy on a cellular.
Are they
backup.
Promising? I know they're giving lip service, but are they?
They're working heavily with the county right now on trying to figure out where their redundancy pieces are needed. And you know, I'm hopeful
throughout the county.
For that. Well, at least in the critical pieces that they, you know, where they've had breaks in the past. This sounded like a weird area that was, you know, hopefully an anomaly in the system.
Really?
Yeah. I've heard that AT&T is committed to figuring out how they can make those redundancies happen so that this doesn't, so that they don't have any occurrences again like we've had the last
for all
of
for all
six
their
months.
Customers
yeah,
rather
all
than
their
just
customers.
The high volume. So with the generators that you guys had. Would they malfunction, not function, or were they just not there?
No, we don't carry a generator for every site because they're expensive to maintain. So we, you know, have 3 or 4 in the fleet. We just need to rotate them around. So it's figuring out, based on the flows and where things are, where things need to be. So it's just a constant kind of art of going from place to place to move water. And it's getting new staff, you know, up and trained on what that is. Because as we've talked about, we haven't had this level of storm again.
With the, I don't want to call them schnibbles, the debris, I guess that's probably the technical mm-hmm. term, that's often in the gutters, mm-hmm. and you see the guys out there with the shovels, and how much of an impact does that make if it's done or if it's not done to a system?
Managing stormwater is sort of the new frontier of regulation at the state level, and it is going to be very difficult for every municipality, and I think probably service districts eventually, or the county level. A lot of our systems now, a lot of our gutters are flowing into filters so that we're filtering that water before it gets into, in Arcata, what's our stormwater system. And those filters in times of big storms build up, and that's when you'll start to see flooding in the streets. So it has added another complete layer of crew work of our streets crew going out in the storms and making sure that those filters are clear of debris so water can keep flowing. And that was a significant work over the last 2 weeks.
So if we had been getting the normal wet weather, that stuff wouldn't have had to be addressed? Or
no,
this is independent of the weather, this is just regulation?
Independent of the weather. It's just the regulation. It's the technologies that we're now putting in place to try to treat some of the pollutants that come off of the cars and come off of the streets into our stormwater systems. New technologies go in, and those technologies haven't been tested in the types of weather that we've had here in the past. So we'll make some changes to that.
Greg, at what time do you scream time out? With all increased regulations, increased cost, all this kind of stuff that's being foisted down, you know, to me, it's kind of like with the drought.
Well, I think
We're still under drought conditions, right?
Yeah.
Statewide, and we still having to abide by it. And we're hearing flood stage and warning stage and all these things that obviously aren't applicable to us.
Yeah, I was having a heck of a time keeping the drought off my windshield on the way in this morning. Yeah. So, but anyway, I think that, you know, that's one of the things, and I joke about it quite a bit, that the regulations are job security for folks like Karen and I. And so I think that you just have to really be watching and looking down the road. You're not allowed to say time out. You never can say time out. You just have to be really proactive and not reactive, because if you try to be reactive with it, you're going to get behind right away and you're going to need that time out. So.
And I would imagine that there's a hefty dollar sign associated with chasing instead of getting out in front.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's one of the most important things in trying to keep our elected officials aware of that and on that side of the curve is very important for us, that it's much cheaper to be proactive than it is reactive.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:31.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer from the city of Arcata. That's right. No, probably not Grand Dame, huh? Not yet.
Of Arcata. Not yet. No. Far
need
from
a couple
that.
More. Need a couple more years under your belt before that.
Maybe a decade.
That. Yeah. Relax, Greg. No title, man.
I was wondering what you're going to come up with for me.
As you guys hear about the storms coming in the next little bit, you see what's going on. Has this, if in fact this has been kind of like the trial, the break-in period for the next 4 or 5 months, are we ready? Is Arcata ready? Is McKinleyville ready for 4 or 5 months of what we've had over the last 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah, I think we're definitely ready. I mean, this is business as usual for so many years for us. It was nice to have a couple-year reprieve, but this is what our staff trained for, and this is what our systems are designed to handle up here because they've had to for decades.
Greg, you as confident?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think one of the things that's important to remember is that for years that this was how we lived, and we've been lucky. Well, I don't know if we've been lucky for the last few years, but we've had a break for the last few years, and I think that our staffs are all very well trained to handle this.
And the infrastructures are in place, and obviously, if you had a crystal ball, you'd know the answer to that question, huh?
Yeah, and the infrastructures are solid, but it doesn't take away the personal responsibility of being prepared for a long-term power outage. I mean, for years in this county, we every single winter went multiple times with 1, 2, 3, up to 4 days without power. We haven't seen that in a long time as well. So I think it's a good time for everyone to take stock, look at their emergency kits, make sure their batteries are up to date and their flashlights, and be prepared, especially as we go into the holidays.
Is that a backup? Or residual, I guess, would be the proper term from the whole Y2K and having generators and getting familiar with all that stuff? Or is it just something of the area? Because we probably had 30% of the population is new in the last 15 years. They may not have gone through some of those extended or prolonged periods here.
Well, I think the thing that catches us is when we start stacking incidents, when we have more than one thing happen. You have a lot of rain and you have a lot of wind, and so then you end up with power outages in the rain, or heaven forbid, an earthquake during any of that sort of thing. So I think that those are the things that make it more difficult. We're very good at, I think, at handling specific incidents. As long as they're not stacked up, then you start getting a little bit behind when those things happen. And I'd have to say that I've noticed that the extended power outages haven't been that bad in the 2000s as they were in the 90s. So I think that probably PG&E probably deserves some kudos for that, keeping the trees cleared of the power lines and things like that.
Yeah, boy, aren't they out there like beavers all over the trees around the power lines? Is that something PG&E pays for? Does the jurisdiction that it's in have to pay?
No, that's all part of PG&E's system.
So that's just a part of paying your bills, yep, is to have the grim tree trimmer come through. We lost a third of one of our ornamental trees to those guys.
Yeah. And those are sort of into the residential area.
It's only been 2 years.
Yeah, and they notch it out too. There's no topiary that goes on with that. Huh?
No, we got a lobotomy. It was just straight across.
But you got power.
Didn't know we were going to have a hedge maple. It just didn't quite work out that way. So if we don't have the stack-ups, the systems are okay to be able just to handle this amount of water flowing through routinely.
They're designed to handle large flows. You know, I mean, typical through the cities, say our wastewater treatment system, it's about 1.5 million gallons a day. And this last
storm, what does that mean? If we had 2 inches of rain,
right? So this last weekend we saw about 6.5 million gallons come through. So it can be a significant increase. We've seen as high as 10 million gallons come through in the past. So, you know, as Greg mentioned, if you start stacking up storms and you already have a lot of water in the system, it's harder to get that to move out if you've got a continuous 6 or 7 million gallons a day coming in.
Okay, here's the stupid question of the show. Doesn't water flow downhill and just go through the system as quick as it does along the streets? I mean, whether it's gravity fed or their pumps.
Well, and that's just it. When the water comes into the system and it's not wastewater, it still has to be treated as wastewater. So there's the expense to that extra stormwater coming in has to be dealt with. And you're really not, the people aren't paying for the stormwater to be treated, but in actuality they are. So I think that that's something that's very important. And another thing that is important is also the fact that we both have natural systems and a lot of surface area. So for McKinleyville, when it rains an inch, that's an extra 1 million gallons of water that we have to treat as if it's sewer water. And it has to be pumped, treated, and then disposed of.
And it doesn't matter where it comes from, whether it's from the kitchen sink or whether it's from the water outside on the street.
Right. Once it's in the wastewater system, it's wastewater. It doesn't matter where it came from.
The larger jurisdictions that have a bigger footprint, do they just have bigger toys and are able to process through water faster? And is that the difference? Just capacity?
It's not necessarily faster. You know, there's a lot of different types of systems. Either you have bigger spaces or you have additional equipment that treats that water. You know, as Greg indicated, both McKinleyville and Arcata really have valued our natural treatment systems. Other systems are more mechanical and could probably even move water through more quickly. You know, water detains anywhere from 20 to 40 days in our system before it actually reaches the bay, depending on the time of year.
So really?
So it's not something of just thinking in
hours.
And out.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, because you guys have got the ponds and the
right. Both of us do. So.
If it was a more traditional model, how long does that stay in those systems?
Mechanical systems, they can have detention times of less than a day.
Okay. So in those scenarios where, say, everything's concrete, mm-hmm, they're able to process through because of that. See, there was an end game on that question. It wasn't maybe quite so stupid. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back, final couple minutes this morning with Greg Orsini and Karen Diemer. We've been talking an awful lot about water. We certainly are starting to get some of our water back or the normal patterns. Is there any recognition at the state that maybe not all parts of the state are dealing with water the same way, or lack of water, or need to? I mean, it would seem... Yeah, like you said, Greg, coming in, you know, you had all that drought on your windshield. I mean, at some point, there's got to be a recognition that maybe not for you, or maybe just for you guys. You hearing anything out of Sacramento other than gurgle, gurgle, gurgle?
Yeah, I think that during the last round of public input that they had at the state level, there is some talk of regionalization, and also that places that are relying on desalinization and things like that they should be exempt from having to do those things too. So I think that the whole concept of talking about the drought is not going to go away. I think that the state board is going to keep on talking about. I don't know that they'll. I know that the chair of the board was hesitant to. That when some of the environmentalist lobbies were saying, well, now that we've got this in place, we just need to keep it. And I think there's some hesitancy on the state board level to do that. But I think that there's traction right now for regional concepts to who is, like, we're pretty much immune to, from the droughts, and in our water system is our whole hydrological system is so sequestered from the rest of the state that it doesn't really do any justice to the people of this area to be under the same regulations.
Karen, do the cities have different challenges or the same challenges as the service district or community districts?
In regards to water use, I think our challenges are identical. You know, it's really, we have a very, very low per capita water use up here. And as Greg indicated,
Legal?
Yeah. Well, definitely on the residential level.
You know? Okay, on the residential level.
And so it makes our ability to conserve really difficult because we don't have a lot of water waste in this area. We don't have a lot of excess irrigation in this area because we've been able to count on Mother Nature in this area to do a lot of that for us. So I think that's been one of our largest challenges in Arcata. But we are hopeful that the rain will break a little bit tonight. So I just did want to mention that we do have Christmas caroling happening on the plaza tonight. It is the holiday season, and although there are a lot of storms, we hope for them to part a little bit tonight so that folks can come out and enjoy. The plaza looks gorgeous. The Main Street has dolled it all up for the holidays with lights and wreaths and decorations, and they're going to host a Christmas caroling leaving the plaza at 6 o'clock tonight.
And hopefully the wind won't replace the rain.
That's right.
Little Johnny Sunshine over here. Thanks for coming by, guys. Merry Christmas. Join us Monday morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. I'll see you tomorrow.